and then no one shows the means by which we can grow in humility. Let's begin with what humility means. Humility comes from the Latin word humus, which means ground or dirt. It has various connected spiritual meanings. It means, first, that we have both of our feet on the ground, that we have a deep sense of who we are and who we are not. As we hear every year on Ash Wednesday, we recognize we are dust, and unto dust we shall return. We acknowledge our human weaknesses, frailties, and limitations. At the same time, however, humility means that even though we are dust, we also recognize that God has breathed into us the breath of life, that He calls us through a humble life to greatness, to a communion of love with Him and with others. To use St. Paul's image, we are vessels of clay carrying within an immense treasure. To be humble, we need to keep both of these things in mind. To be humble doesn't mean that we think that we are losers. Consistent with the message of the gospel, it means rather than we have been adopted children of God. We became forgiven sinners. Humility means never forgetting where we have come from, but also remembering the greatness that our relationship with God confers on us. If that's what humility is, we can now turn to how to grow in humility. And this morning, I would like to mention five practices. The first is to recognize and treasure the love God has for us. To be able to thank God for all that we've received and not constantly willing to have more. One of the things that generates pride, that drives us to prop ourselves up and seek better places at tables, is that we don't always remember who we are already in God and the greatness we bear in His beloved children. The more we focus on who we are in God's eyes, the more we will see that worldly honors are vanity of vanities. And sometimes, for most of us, even a millstone. Second practice is truly prioritizing the love of others. The more we grow in our knowledge of God's love for us, the more we will grow in knowledge of God's love for others. And that will help us to prioritize their interests over ours. One of the reasons why we fight for seats at tables rather than for towels to wash others' feet is because we struggle truly to love others because of exaggerated self-love and our self-protection. When we love someone, however, we want them to have the best seats, even if that means we sit behind them. When we love someone, we want them to be praised, well-fed, helped, and happy. That's why when we grow in love of others, such that we serve them willingly, we become humbler without often even knowing it. This is a lesson that those at the dinner party in the gospel didn't grasp. Someone with dropsy was there. Perhaps as a plant. To test whether Jesus would cure him on the Sabbath. Guess what? Jesus did not hesitate. After asking whether it was lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not, whether it was possible to do good deeds on the Sabbath or not, he healed the man. The principle Jesus gave was no one would ever allow one of their children or even animals who fell into a pit to remain in there on the Sabbath, but would work on the Sabbath to rescue him. Jesus, therefore, with merciful affection, would not allow this man one more day to remain with dropsy. Jesus' analogy highlights that we always do something with urgency for someone or something we really care about, who matters to us, whom we love. And we would see that such authentic love for that person would not be a violation of God's law or God's will. The problem for the Pharisees was that they just didn't really care about the man with dropsy. They didn't love him at all, not to mention with affection or mercy. Jesus did. And Jesus acts with the same urgency for us and our salvation because he cares for us more than a parent cares for a child or a farmer cares for his animals. And he wants to imitate that loving concern, that same urgency. The more we do, the greater and the faster we will progress in humility, provided we act with love for others than a desire to be noticed. The third practice to grow in humility is humble prayer. Because we know that not all prayer is humble. When we pray with contempt for others, for family members, our prayer is not humble, despite all the gymnastic we want to do in our mind to please God. But whole prayer is not humble. Could be a topic for another day. Humble prayer is basically a prayer to help us to love as God calls us to love. When we love others, we love ourselves in this love, and we want the best for them. The first practice Jesus teaches us is to accept sufferings and humiliations well. So obviously this first practice is not the easiest. And I'm sorry, but I don't have miracle recipes this morning to master this first practice. If we want to improve, we need good examples. That's why I will encourage you to read the lives of saints. And we can think about the suffering endured by St. Catherine from the fellow members of her tribe. And Alone Edge, know how God used those abasements, not only to sanctify them, but to help sanctify us. And God wants us similarly to unite whatever we have to endure to him. So, I encourage you to read the life of Saint Catherine, the first canonized native Indian. The fifth and the last practice I will mention today is the sacrament of confession. Every sacrament is an admission that we are not self-sufficient, that we need God, that we need His grace. In each sacrament, we go to God with empty hands and we ask Him to give us Himself in the way we need. With the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, we recognize our sins and failings, but even more importantly, we recognize the infinite treasure of God's mercy and go humbly to ask Him for forgiveness and help. There is no better way to fight against pride than humbly to examine our conscience and to see that we are not who we ought to be. That in our thoughts, words, acts, and omissions, we have greatly sinned. And we have strayed big time from the path of Jesus' footsteps and come to God for mercy. The fact that we kneel when we go to confession is itself a practice that helps us to mature in humility. The fact that we often have to confess the same sins over and over again, that no matter how hard we try, we still have a temper or give in to impatience or walk straight back into occasions of sin, likewise, helps us to remember both our weaknesses as well as the treasure of God's patience and eternal paternal kindness. The saints, recognizing their dependence on God, consider themselves as serious sinners. Even the great Saint Paul said, "I am the greatest of sinners." Dear faithful, humility is related to charity. Saint Augustine said, wherever humility is, there is also charity. The Blessed Virgin Mary is noted for her humility. To the Archangel Gabriel, she said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." And in the Magnificat, she prays, "He has regarded the humility of His handmaid." If we are to have a spiritual life that is of any value, we must strive to develop within ourselves the God-given gifts of faith and charity. Both of them require humility. For he who humbles himself will be exalted. He will be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man and will have Christ dwell in his heart, both in faith and in charity, the knowledge and the love of God. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.